Hi, friends. This is Angie.
Becca.
Bonnie.
Your host of the Seasons Ministry podcast. Thanks for joining us back on another episode that will center around the lament that we find in Psalm 31. And here in a moment, I'm going to read the verses 14 to 24 that will kind of close. But as our discussions naturally go, I'm sure we'll be popping back in to those first verses that we find. But if you remember, this is David's cry to the Lord. The terminology we used is lament. And you heard me say last time that it is to give a person permission to wrestle with sorrow instead of rushing to the end. And from that same book, another way they put it was a prayer in pain that leads to trust. So we want you to know as we read through the rest of the psalm, like lamenting isn't all about our complaining to God and breaking it up, but it's that he meets us there in it and he reminds us of who he is. And that's where worship can come. And that's what we're going to see in the second part of the psalm. So starting in verse 14, David says, "But I trust in you, Lord. I say you are my God. The course of my life is in your power. Rescue me from the power of my enemies and from my persecutors. Make your face shine on your servant. Save me by your faithful love. Lord, do not let me be disgraced when I call on you. Let the wicked be disgraced. Let them be quiet in Sheol. Let lying lips that arrogantly speak against the righteous in proud contempt be silenced. How great is your goodness that you have stored up for those who fear you and accomplished in the sight of everyone for those who take refuge in you. You hide them in the protection of your presence. You conceal them in a shelter from human schemes, from quarrelsome tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has wondrously shown his faithful love to me in a city under siege. In my alarm, I said, I am cut off from your sight, but you heard the sound of my pleading when I cried to you for help. Love the Lord, all his faithful ones. The Lord protects the loyal, but fully repays the arrogant. Be strong and let your heart be courageous, all you who put your hope in the Lord."
So I'm just going to follow that up with a little bit more from Psalms chapter 42, I read last week that starts out as the deer longs for flowing streams, so I long for you, God. And I'm just going to skip down to verse 5. It says, "Why, my soul, are you so dejected? Why are you in such turmoil? Put your hope in God, for I will still praise him, my Savior and my God. I am deeply depressed, therefore I remember you." If you remember from last time, I said that I came to this chapter at a time when I was praying for God to rescue me, to give me a break or a refuge, you know. And I first, as I was reading the first 13 verses, I felt familiar that I could relate to a lot of what was being said, and I could identify with the psalmist David. And then when it came to verse 14, I saw this shift in the message. "But I trust in you, Lord. You are my God. The course of my life is in your power." And that spoke to me because at that point, the rest of the chapter changes. And as David surrendered all of those struggles and all of that suffering and all of the fear that he was having, his Bonnie was saying that this was describing emotional, physical, relational, spiritual struggles. And so as David laid those down at Jesus' feet in his prayer, in surrender, he says, "But I trust you. You are my God. The course of my life is in your power." And that is where we need to come to. We can't just, or it doesn't help us as much if we just say, God, these are all my problems. Amen. But we need more than that from him. And he wants more than that from us. He wants us to lay them down. He says, cast your burdens on me because I care for you. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so God is inviting us not just to share our feelings with him, but to leave them there.
And that leads me to looking at verses 14 through 18, which David expresses trust in God. Excuse me, but I will trust in you, O Lord. And he's repeating that from verses 6 through 8, because in those verses he also is showing trust in God. And so I think through it all, David has learned, as well as we can learn, that there are assurances in God that we can have. God's sufficiency, for one thing, you know. God's loyalty. David says, you have known me, and yet you've loved me. You've supported me. You've been my refuge. You are my rock. And God's goodness. As we're going to see in verse 19, oh, how abundant is your goodness. So if we can have that assurance of God's sufficiency, his loyalty, and his goodness, why would we not turn to him? And why would we not just open ourselves, our cares, our concerns, and especially our praises and our trust in him?
I love the natural progression that a relationship with God will allow us to go from complaining to praising. That's the process of him drawing our eyes back upon him. And as Bonnie was talking, I often have lyrics just always playing. I always say there's some soundtrack going on in the back of my head, but I remembered one, and I don't even know the name of the song, maybe Becca will, but just kept going on and on through it all, my eyes are on you. And so this is what we see David doing. You know, he says, the course of my life is in your power. All the seasons of our life. That was one unique thing that I found in a commentary that I was studying on this particular song, that it broke down different references throughout this psalm that represent different seasons. I will read a little bit. This is taken from David Gusick's commentary, if you need the reference. But the verses 1 through 8 are talking about autumn, with its winds and gathering clouds, yet having sunlight and a golden fruitage, even though the breath of death is everywhere. And then winter comes in verses 9 through 13, chill and lifeless, full of sobs and sighing. But then there's the hope that spring brings in verses 14 to 18, with its hope and expectation and its weeping rains and bursting sun gleams. And then into summer, 19 to 24, at last the bright and golden summer. Through it all, my eyes are on you, trusting that in every season, no matter what season you currently find yourself in, when we place our eyes upon him, when we make him our rock on which we stand on. I know just recently I sent out in this group text message that I was reminded of the importance of using rocks to make an altar of remembrance. And it is that life in certain seasons can seem to have crashing waves that shake me, but not the rock on which I stand on. Not God's character. It's never going to change. That's where he's drawing my eyes back up to, because Cecily reminded me, I'm not for sure of the scripture reference, but where maybe it's in Job, where God says, I will allow those waves to come, but only so far. They're still under my authority. And it's all purposeful to draw us back upon him. And then to celebrate that we get to have a relationship with this God who promises to save us, who promises to be our refuge. And that's where that praise comes from, as we reflect and we remember that's why we need all of those rocks in our story, those Ebenezer stones where we, when the waves are crashing around us, we can remember, oh, he was my rock there. He was my guide. He led me through. He parted those waters so that I could walk through that situation, and he hasn't changed. So he will be my guide. He will be my strength, my fortress. And I'm going to praise him right now in the midst of it all.
You watch David preach to himself a lot of times in his Psalms where he's reminding himself of God and how God saved him. I think Bonnie even said, you know, verse 6 is then quoted again in verse 14 or something close to that, where he's saying, but I trust in you. You are my rock. I don't know. Somewhere in there. You said back and forth. What I'm trying to say is, when we get into these struggles, when we get into these situations and we lay it all down, God gives us memories of the times that he was faithful. Like Angie was just saying, you know, we can take those moments and preach to ourselves to remember that God was faithful and remember that God was our fortress and remember that he was our rock. And then we can turn our struggles into praise and we can turn our struggles into worship to him. Because once you have been rescued, if you've ever been rescued before, you know the joy that you experience in that moment of relief and just thanksgiving. And I think that that is the feeling that we get as we transition from lamenting to God to praising him and worshiping him, because God has grown our faith and he's using those struggles to build our faith in him so that we can preach to ourselves remembrance of those times so that our faith will be stronger for the next time. It helps us persevere into the future because of the faith that he gives us from the strength that he gives us. And when the verses from Psalms 42, the same thing is happening. You know, he's pouring his soul out to God and pouring his struggles out to God, but he says, yet I will trust you. It even says a couple times in there that the world is saying, where is your God? You know, and he's just trusting that God is still there, that God is noticing, that God's seeing, but he continues to worship God, and he continues to praise him and remember the times that God was faithful. And that's what's happening in Psalms 31. He starts to remember and trust that God is going to get him through this one way or the other. And that is the shift from the inward focus that the chapter started to the outward, upward first to God. And then God uses that to help him look outward to other people.
Yeah, it's kind of like that, praising God for what he has done, but also for what he will continue to do, because he said in verse 19, how abundant is your goodness. And then in verse 20, in the cover of your presence, you hide them. And them being back up referencing 19, how abundant is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you and worked for those who take refuge in you. It's like God has, isn't that, I just think that's pretty powerful. God has stored up goodness for us. And so where are we going to find this comfort and strength? In the cover of your presence. I think another translation used the secret place of your presence. And I think of those times that I have humbled myself and at times literally fallen to my knees and just spent time in God's presence, how strengthening that is. And you know, you talk about relational. I mean, it's just, and sometimes I think that we just need to steal away and pray, as the words of an old song said, you know, I just steal away and pray. And I, you know, I have to say that I'm guilty of not doing that nearly as often as I should. Just simply bask in the presence of God. And when we do that, we will see the goodness that he has for us and all that that encompasses. You know, it's, yes, it's comfort in our times of grief and discouragement, and it's strength to move on to whatever he has for us next. And I just, you know, I'm just so encouraged by that, that in his presence, we can find that.
That very verse, you hide them in the protection of your presence. I had written down joy, and I think that's where the joy comes from in the trials. It's not in that. It's not seeking out to go through hard times. It's an understanding that even there, God is with us. Even there, when we fall to our knees, he is there holding us. He has stored up for us his goodness, his blessing, and his protection. That's where the joy is found, not happiness, just that joy of being in the presence of the Lord. And it made me think of when you were talking about the blessing that he stored up, the blessing that he has Aaron speak over his people, which I think is so fitting, because as we move further into the psalm, we see that David moves from his own praise, his own personal praise to God, into taking that praise and encouraging others with it, to encouraging others to join him in being strong, letting your heart be courageous, and putting your hope in the Lord. It reminds me of Numbers 6, the blessing. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look with favor on you and give you peace. A peace that only he can give. That comes from Numbers 6, verses 24 to 26. Just remembering the goodness of God. And that's where our hearts overflow into this place of praise. And this is the natural progression. We see David, and I love that right before he goes to others, he says in verse 22, in my alarm, like in my own doubt, I said, I am cut off from your sight. But you heard me, Lord. You met me there. The sound of my pleading when I cried to you for help. And he's saying, there you reminded me. And I'm supposed to, when I'm still and listen to the Lord and hear his truth and get moved and encouraged by him, that's the peace I'm supposed to pour out onto others. And if I'm honest, in this world, when you find a friend who's an encourager, I would just suggest that you just thank God and pray for God that they continue to be a part of your life, because they're rare. They're rare gems. There's lots of critics out there. There's lots of noise and people. One thing that I loved of both Becca and Bonnie is they shared of their love to listen. And isn't that a gem in of itself? Because so many of us want to just talk and even sometimes when we're listening, I think we've talked about this before, we're listening to then respond instead of listening to soak it up. And so I've been trying to come with a heart to listen a little longer when we present those requests to God than to sit in his presence and simply listen to what he would say and be strong and let your heart be courageous.
So you see, as David walks through this prayer with God, I imagine Angie read it a lot faster than it took David to pray it originally. This isn't a 5-minute fix, maybe sometimes, but it feels like probably it took a little longer than that. But it's just amazing how when God in his goodness even allows us to worship him, and that worship to him benefits us. I just think that God is so good and so compassionate that even something that is 100% for him, he allows and shares with us. We benefit from it by being strengthened and encouraged and refreshed for a perspective shift. But we also benefit from the worship of others and experiencing their worship. And if you've been in a room or around a campfire, one of my favorite times to worship in a group is at church camp. And we have a campfire at night, and the kids sing their hearts out in worship to God. And it's just the most beautiful thing to see and experience. And the fact that God is getting that worship as an offering, but allowing me to be blessed by it, is just so incredible. God is so good, and he's so kind. And I can feel David coming back to that heart as he ends the chapter with the last two verses. Love the Lord, all his faithful ones. The Lord protects the loyal, but fully repays the arrogant. Be strong and let your heart be courageous, all you who put your hope in the Lord. And I think that's the posture that we want to take from this little session that we're doing on Psalms 31. Because Angie said earlier, you know, lamenting is not just about complaining. It's not just about coming to God, but it's also about receiving from him the compassion that he has, the surrender that we offer to him. He fills us back up. We pour our hearts out, and he fills us back up with strength. He gives us the perseverance. He equips us with what we need to continue on in the journey that he's placed us on. And when we really grasp that, when we understand that that's what God does for us, then we just can't help but be overwhelmed with worship, and then want to just encourage that in other people, and remember that when we start the conversation with complaining, that we finish it with encouraging.
One of the cross references that I have is to Psalm 27, verse 14, where it has that "be strong and let your heart be courageous" in there, but tucked around it, it says, "wait for the Lord." Be strong and let your heart be courageous. Wait for the Lord. And I have written down, waiting is a humble resignation of my will to his. It's that surrender. And that's what I'm hearing. It's a lifelong relationship with God, because sometimes when I hear "be courageous, be strong," I'm thinking of my own strength. I'm thinking of pull. What's the bootstraps saying? How do you say it?
Pull yourself up by the bootstraps.
There you go. Yeah. Pull yourself up by the bootstraps and get out there. And know the courageous thing that God is asking us to do is surrender our desires to his will, to wait on him, to grow this trust, to be strong and courageous, and then rejoice as we watch and we see him move in our lives in this form of worship. And I think a lot of times, I was just, one of the things I was sharing before we hit record to Psalm 31 is recently my heart was in this state of turmoil that David finds himself in. And I think it's very important that Becca said, you know, this isn't just a 5-minute fix. This is a lot of wrestling going on. And I found myself recently in that state of turmoil and wrestling when I was in church service, and the last song to be sung was "It Is Well." And I couldn't, in that moment of wrestling, proclaim those words. There were certain ones that I proclaimed, and I prayed the whole entire time of "God, I know you will get me to a place where I will be able to sing those words." And sometimes it is in that song. Like, I love songs that are 8-13 minutes long, as Becca will often point out to me. But sometimes I need to repeat it that many times to bring my heart to this process of lament, because I'm stuck on the... in my alarm, I said, "I am cut off from you." And God is tenderly bringing me from that place back to, "Oh, but I love you, Lord. You are faithful. You are just. You are kind and merciful." And to that, where I can say, "It is well with my soul. I surrender to whatever you have for this season of my life, Lord.
I can hear David in those concluding verses there. Just keep trusting. Mm-hmm. Hold on. You know, wait for the Lord. Because the Lord has shown his steadfast love to me, I will trust him. I will trust him. Love and trust. Love God, trust God.
In the book of Habakkuk, it says that the righteous will live by faith. And this is the faith that it's talking about, that trust in God, that laying it out, say I'm struggling, but I trust you. The course of my life is in your hands. You are my rock. You are my refuge. It's just amazing how you can kind of feel him relax, and you can kind of feel yourself relax too as you just rest. It makes me think of, I think it's Psalms 37. I don't know the verse, maybe 6 or 7. It says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently. And I think waiting has come up a lot in our conversations as we talk about lamenting, because let's face it, when things aren't going well, it's usually because we're waiting for things to go well. And it's just not going the way we thought it would. And so we wait on him. We wait for circumstances to change. We wait for him to change us, but we still are waiting. And Angie says a lot of times the in-between, and the in-between is a lot of the everyday. The things that we face all the time is the in-between. And I'm just praying for you as the listener and for us as the ones having the conversation that God will walk beside us in the waiting, that he will be our rock, and we can rest in his presence. I think that shelter of his presence is such a beautiful illustration of what we get from God. And I think I said this maybe a few times already, but once you've experienced the rest and peace that you get from the presence of God, there is no other rest that will satisfy you. And it leaves David running to God. It leaves John running to God. It leaves Habakkuk running to God and saying, where else would we go? No matter how hard, no matter what we go through, God, there's no one else I would rather turn to than you, because you are the faithful God. You are the holy God, and I worship you and I trust you. My life is in your hands.
Yeah, one of the things I wrote down in that book of Habakkuk is that he chose to worship while he waits. And that's what we invite you into, is just, if you're in a season of waiting, to go to him and allow him to bring you into that place of worship, so that we can say, as Habakkuk did, like, even if the worst thing happens, still I will rejoice and celebrate that you are the God of my salvation. So Bonnie, as we wrap up just this too few episodes where we could always continue to talk about God's word and his character, because he is never ending. We can spend all the days of our lives in the word and never stop learning about that. I just pray I ask you, Bonnie, to pray. Sorry, my words are getting all mixed up at the end of this, as they do sometimes. Bonnie, will you just pray over our listeners? I don't know who is listening today, but whether they are ones who have spent years in his word, going to him and seeking him, or maybe they're in a season where they haven't picked up the Bible for a while, or it seems the words seem too hard to understand, I just pray that you would just cover each and every woman or whoever is listening out there in this blessing of allowing them to just break their hearts open before the Lord.
Heavenly Father, as we come to the conclusion, Lord, of our discussion on Psalm 31, there's so much more to be said, and so much more to learn. And so, Father, I do pray your blessing over those who will listen to this. And then, Father, for those who are perhaps in a time of waiting, I just ask that you would open the eyes of their heart, Father, to learn whatever it is you have, because there are lessons for us in our times of waiting. And Father, as you reveal yourself through your word to us, you don't want it to stop there, Father. You want us to reach out to others and just to share what you have taught us and to share the love of Jesus. So Father, as the song says, I just pray the name of Jesus over those of us here and those who are listening. Father, grant that we would have a desire to have those precious, precious moments of time with you, to commune with you, Father, and just to quiet our busy worlds and hear your voice and respond, Father, to where you may be calling us. And you may be calling us, Lord, to active ministry of some kind, or you may be calling us just to rest a while, to learn more of you. So, Father, we just thank you, and we praise you, and we thank you for Jesus, who is our righteousness. In his name we pray. Amen.